You might have heard before, when a goal was nearly met, but a last-minute snafu made it unachievable. Or when the game was lost by 1 point. And you might have heard someone say, "We were so close." And then someone in the background goes, "Close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades." You heard that? Yeah. Yeah. Well, when we don't reach our goals or don't win the game, there is no success to claim and no first prize. Close just doesn't count it if our goal was to win. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll read something Paul wrote to the church in Corinth about races and how they can apply as an analogy in our own lives. Verse 24, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? All of them are doing it, but one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." So there's a strategy to their attempt to win. They do whatever they can to prepare. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. We for an imperishable crown. So Paul is reminding them that we are seeking a prize, but it's imperishable. It can never go bad, never dwindle. "Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. I know my goals. I know what I want to do. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. I'm determined. I know my goals. I know my obstacles, and I get around them. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others," or we could say with my example to others if I'm not preaching, "I myself should become disqualified." So when we are doing this, we're also providing example for someone else. Christians, however, are not playing a game that concludes with any particular event. Paul was not saying, "I'm in competition with you to get the prize, and if I get it, you don't get it. Or if I don't get it, you get it." That's where the analogy breaks down. He's not saying that. Instead, we are participating in a race that encompasses our whole converted life, from beginning to end. Okay, and so we are literally dealing with our enemy being time. If you want to think about the other competitor, it's kind of like you're competing against time. So how we live expresses our love for God. That's where we have the opportunity to express our love for God, not just by what we say, but what we do. God doesn't just require us to rest on the Sabbath, for instance. I brought this example up because we're here on the Sabbath day. And that's just one of God's laws. Lots of ways of living under God's guidance and direction. But He doesn't just require us to rest on the Sabbath. He also requires us to assemble. How can we be there for one another if we never show up? So we're talking about the race here. We're talking about our way of life. If I'm not around for you, how can I help you? If I'm not around, how can you help me? Please help. So He also requires us to assemble. How can we be there for one another if we don't? And how can I practice God's love on you if I'm not there? We can real quickly be reminded in Leviticus 23, this command. Leviticus 23 and verse 3, which reads, "6 days shall work be done. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest. Clear as a bell we rest." Okay, that's all I need to know. I won't go to work. I won't go to school. I won't go fishing. I won't go bowling. I'm going to rest and I'm going to focus on God. Is that all of the scripture? No, then it says, a holy convocation. It is a day set aside that God calls us to assembly. That's what convocation means. In his name and by his authority. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So it is God's Sabbath. It's not mine. I keep the Sabbath, but it's not my Sabbath day. God owns that day and he provides it for us. There's a song entitled Show Up, Choose Love. Is it not working?
It is a little squeak, so keep going.
Okay. So it's entitled Show Up, Choose Love. It's by Toby Mac, and he's got someone else, John Reddick, singing with him. And it begins with, we've come a long way, been through some dark days. We've seen some things change, and we shall overcome. It's been a long night. We need some morning light to get to the other side. We've got to keep on finding ways to show up, choose love. We've come a long way. We've got a long way to go. Let's do the next right thing. Show up, choose love. We've come a long way. We've got a long way to go. Let's do the next right thing. You might wonder why I did that twice, because I knew it would shock you the first time. It'll give you a little chance to recoup and then hear the words. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 3, we won't go there, encourage one another daily. Exhorting one another daily, which means encouragement. And that's an interesting thought, because it's hard for you and me to do that. We're very fortunate, and we can be very, praise God, that we can come to church. We've got enough gas money and we can get here, right? Because we're far away from each other. But did you know the city of Corinth, just to give you some ideas of when Hebrews was written, Corinth was in existence as a church, and Corinth was 5 million square feet. 5 million. 5 million square feet. That sounds like a lot, doesn't it? Well, the truth is, if it were a square, just for the sake of example, if it were a square, it would be a square with 2,236 foot sides. And the farthest corners would be 3,160 feet away from each other. 0.4 miles, 0.6 miles. Okay, all you had to do to get from one corner to the far corner was 895 steps. Okay, you'd have to run that, what, 8 times back and forth to get your 10,000 steps in for the day? It's close. They worked together probably. They met during the week, maybe ate at each other's house, met in the park, saw each other at the market. There was an opportunity to meet every day. Now, Jerusalem was twice the size. So, no difference as far as being able to meet with brethren during the week. But then in chapter 10 of Hebrews, let's read in verse 24 and 25, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, or encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So show up and choose love. Because even if you can't get together during the week, or when you get together, you're really just with a few people, it's at church that you get, I say at church, it's a kind of a strange way of putting it, it's at assembly, which means the same thing, that everybody's together and has the opportunity to share God's love with one another and teach each other and be there for one another. Let's turn to John chapter 15. John 15, we'll read in verse 12. Through 14. This is my commandment. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's quite a commandment. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. In this case, he was commanding that they love one another. And then in 1 John 3:16, we read, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. We know that Jesus literally died for us. The ultimate meaning of laying down one's life. But that's not all he did. He spent 33 and a half years or so laying down his life before he died. Being a God of love, being a perfect example, and offering people hope. Okay, so that's what we're supposed to do. We don't have to die the death. It could happen, but we're here for each other to lay down our lives for one another. Towards the end of the song, it reads, the lyrics are, you know we should leave everyone we see better than we found them. Not them, better than we found them. His love never fails. This sort of reflects what we were just reading from John and 1 John. In Galatians 6, in verse 10, it reads, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. You know, one thing about that song, it says, everyone we see. That's not wrong. It's not just the brethren. We have an opportunity in our lives, in our daily lives, to be that example to everyone we see and to love them as Jesus would love them. Now, I'm not saying put that ahead of the brethren. This is also not saying that. It's saying when you can do it all, do it all. Otherwise, especially the brethren. So let's remember we are in a marathon of a race where we must be victorious over the time allotted to us. We'll struggle, we'll fall. There's repentance and there's change. You know, there's change. That's what repentance includes. And so we can keep going, keep racing. Our short-term failures are things from which we get up and continue to run. So the song ends, sometimes the next right thing is all you can do. Let's turn to Romans chapter 15 as our final scripture. Romans chapter 15. We'll start in verse 5 and read through 7. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. So there is this reason we come together is not to pontificate, not to say what I think. We're supposed to be encouraging one another when we get together. And that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This coming together gives us the opportunity to be in unity. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So everything we are doing, everything Christ did is to the glory of God for his glorification. Because all of our righteousness on our own is filthy rags. The only righteousness we have is by the power of God. Okay, and we need to always remember that. So let's make sure we resolve to show up and choose love.